This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. We're talking about Cornstalk Theater's upcoming production of Humanity Stew with director Victoria Ryans and playwright Hale Garrison. The production opens next weekend and runs February 13th through the 22nd. Thanks you two for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
And I should note at the outset here, I am one of the actors performing in this production.
Well, Hale, I thought we'd ask you, talk about the premise for Humanity Stew and how you cooked up the idea for the vignettes.
Well, this is a compilation mostly of previous one-act plays that I've written, and some of which have been performed at Cornstalk. But when I decided to compile them, I wanted it to be more than just a series of one-act plays. I wanted it to be a complete package. And so I came up with this scene that kind of links them all together, that bookends it and appears periodically, that sort of ties it all together thematically and just makes it more satisfying.
And share the bookends, how you tie them in together.
Yeah, well, there's a scene that involves a man. The character is just called Grandpa, and his granddaughter, Ellie, and he lives in a retirement village, and she visits him. And in their discussion, he brings up some things about humanity and people and life in general. And the subject matter sort of relates to the plays then that will appear after that. And so they begin the show and then appear twice during the show as transitions between scenes, which are the one acts.
It's nice. It gives it that continuity. And there's so many themes that are touched on in this show. There's so much biting, truthful commentary on politics, corruption, greed, love, and relationships is touched on, and the complexities involved there. And it's really about the absurdity of life, family dysfunction, talks about the cult of celebrity, how so many Americans are fascinated by celebrity and fame and what fame can do. And yes, it is a comedy, but it's also a mix of humor and some deeper themes involved, which I'm trying to bring out in some scenes.
Now, I know that some of these pieces have been staged in earlier incarnations at Cornstalk and at some other theaters. Have they evolved? Have they changed a little bit since those earlier versions? I mean, have you tweaked them?
I've tweaked them. There have been no major changes. About 40% of this show is all brand new material. The rest of it has been at least publicly performed as a reading or a stage version. And so as it's gone along, I've made some modifications and some changes, hopefully improvements, but they have not changed drastically.
And Victoria, I'm interested, as a director, this production poses an interesting challenge. The last time you directed, you had two actors, one play, and this time you've got essentially eight different casts. Mm-hmm. Does that create a challenge for you when you're trying to organize the rehearsal schedule to get people in and out?
Oh, very much so. At this point, that's the most difficult challenge is coordinating everybody's schedule, and at times you just have to roll with it. Not everybody's going to be there when you have 17 cast members, and these are volunteers and they have life outside of the theater, and it's just balancing that. But when they are there, they are very talented, and for most of the part, my work is maybe 5%. 95% is the good writing and the very talented people I have involved.
And I wonder if you can both talk about how humor and being very biting, very sarcastic, but making very good points is a way to deal with life. That humor is a way to deal.
I think there is so much truth in humor. And I think comedians today are our truth tellers. And you go back to that quote, there's much truth in jest.
And when it comes to this kind of humor, which a lot of it is very satirical in nature, humor is a way, I hate to use this word, but it's a weapon against the things that are wrong with this world. It's a way to make a point, to fight back, but not be off-putting, but to make people laugh, but still make the point.
Just from my own interaction with the show, it would seem to me that if there is a motif to the play, if there's a trick that you're employing, it's that you take a normal circumstance and then you slowly amplify it in more and more absurd directions and just see how ridiculous you can make that scenario spin out. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's very fair. Yeah, there's a situation. You put the right people in a situation and you watch them behave. Much of humor is exaggeration of the things that we encounter on a regular basis. And so when I had the ideas for these, I take this situation and these people and you mix it up a little bit and you exaggerate it. And the reactions to it is what really propels the story. People respond to one another and it becomes sometimes absurd.
And it's there in the writing and from a creative aspect, from the directing position. and I've incorporated that. So some scenes, they become absurd, and it's going to be taken to that level with the lighting cues and the sudden shifts, and then it goes back to normal.
And so, I wonder if you've each had a point of view about how a character could be portrayed, and you as the director, Victoria, said, I have a different take, and you discussed it.
Oh, we argued constantly. Hours at Starbucks arguing. No. No, we pretty much, same. He trusts my vision, mm-hmm. and it's very much in line with your vision. I don't think there are going to be too many surprises.
Well, and that's the nature of theater in general. You know, plays are produced all over this country, and every production's different. It depends on the people involved in it and their vision. And so as a writer, you try to spell it out, and you have your take on things, but you know that the people that are actually going to stage it are going to do what they do, and the actors are going to bring their personalities to that role. Mm-hmm. So I handed this off to Victoria and said, yes, I trust her completely, and said, this is your show now, and I'm sure it will be great, because she's great.
As a director, this production puts you in an unusual circumstance. Usually if you direct a show, you don't have the playwright giving you advice as you go along. You certainly aren't likely to have the playwright in the audience on opening night.
Mm-hmm.
Does that kind of change the pressure on you? Does that create a different approach?
It's actually a great advantage. If there are things that I'm sort of struggling with, or I have some questions about staging, and if there's something that I thought maybe too controversial to do on stage, I call Gary and we talk about it and work it out. And I think it's very exciting, especially for the actors, to know that the playwright will be in the audience on opening night.
Or at least in the lobby. I don't know if I'll be in the audience. I'll be in the lobby listening.
You called him Gary. Can we talk about your pseudonym?
Sure. Yeah. Hale Garrison is my pseudonym, my pen name. My real name is Gary Hale, and so I'm here in Peoria. And I just chose that for a number of different reasons. I don't know if you want to get into this, but one reason is if you want to promote yourself as a writer, you need to have a web presence. And Gary Hale, that domain was taken. And so I want to be able to have a domain that is my name. Also, Gary Hale was the guy who had half-written stuff and put them in drawers, never finished them. But I get to play this trick with myself, where Hale Garrison, though, is the person who completes what he writes and gets it out there.
And I wonder, with Hale, did some of the vignettes come together easier for Hale than others?
Well, I'm not that schizophrenic. I don't separate myself from Hale Garrison as I write. It's all comes from the same
King.
Person. Yeah. Hale Garrison just ends up as the name on the script.
Were some of the vignettes easier to write than others?
Oh, yeah. There's always that. And I struggle with all of it. I have a weird process. It's not that weird, I guess. I just make notes on scraps of paper when I think of something, and even in my phone, and often will just stew about things in my head, sometimes for weeks or months, before I actually sit down and actually write it. And I work out a lot of the particulars so that when I actually sit down to write, it's at the stage where I know where it starts, I know where it ends, I know the characters, and then I just let them react and speak, and the dialogue is more natural between them. And so it all is formulating in my head for weeks before I really even write. And so the struggle isn't so much when I sit down to write as much as how much time it takes to formulate that stuff prior to writing.
One of the things that I love about theater is that you start with the words on the script, which are a work of art in and of themselves, but then it's the process of rehearsing and building that you create a world that exists on a stage with human actors moving around and actual sets to represent physical places. So I'm wondering, Victoria, how much of that was in the script when you first got it? How much of those physical worlds did you have to create?
Gary and I agreed that we wanted to keep it very minimal because there's going to be fast set changes, and I didn't want to be bogged down with big bulky pieces of furniture. So we're going to try to keep it very minimal. So it was primarily the actors and the dialogue and the written word that is going to be center stage.
And I'm very good with the minimal idea because one of my influences is the Second City up in Chicago. And they do very quick changes between their bits that they do. And so I kind of like that idea with the minimalistic approach.
Mm-hmm. And what are you hoping people will leave the play with?
Well, I hope that they will have laughed a lot, hopefully some things to think about as well. And the ending of this play, where I kind of bring it full circle then, where we go back to Grandpa and Ellie, I hope they're almost touched in a way, that they feel something as well. And so a lot of the great comedies in film and in plays, you have a mix of humor and also the substance that's there, and people leave having experienced a wide range of emotions.
I'd like people to leave with smile, but also with some concern about humanity and how we act when we are in groups and the need to control and greed and power, but also to find optimism and contentment.
Hale Garrison is the author of Humanity Stew. Victoria Ryans directs the show. It opens next Friday, February 13th at the Cornstalk Winter Playhouse with performances through the 22nd. Break a leg.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
And Nathan, the Chow First Friday Art Gallery tours are tonight from 5 to 9 p.m. Dozens of local artists are once again opening their studio doors where you can purchase one-of-a-kind original artwork, so plan to stop on by.
And the First United Methodist Church is presenting an organ concert Sunday night at 6:30. Four different performers, including Dr. John Orff and Sherry Seckler. Program includes music by Bach, Marcel Dupre, and others. And the concert is a benefit for malignant hyperthermia.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Stephanie Sobey. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you find us at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin. This is Out and About.